Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Before I start on Joseph part two, I just want to preface the message by saying this. If I had a picture of what things are going to look like right now, what this moment is, I would say I would have the picture of an operating room, of going into an operating room, possibly for heart surgery, because I feel like the Lord wants to heal some hearts today. The Lord wants to touch some hearts today. So I've been praying about this time that there would be such a holiness that fills this room, that this would be a holy moment. You know, when you go, or you know of people going into surgery and they go into the operating room, I mean, it's sterile, right? The lights are so bright it's just an environment with no contaminations, and they're prepared for just a very careful procedure. And I feel like that's what the Spirit of the Lord is doing with us, and we need that this morning, to just be really careful that we're not distracted, and that we allow the Holy Spirit to touch people's hearts today. In Scripture, there's a story about a woman who has an issue or condition, a hemorrhaging issue of blood, and she says, if I could only touch Jesus, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, if I could just press through, if I could just get to him and touch him, touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be made well. And in fact, she does that, and he stops the crowded area where he is in and says, who touched me? The disciples say, Lord, everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? And he said, no, I perceive power went out from me. And he turns and he has this interaction with her, you know, called her daughter. Your faith has made you well. See, Jesus was not going to let her get away with just receiving power. He was wanting a relationship. There's another story in Scripture where a man, Jesus has an encounter with this man. He's a leper. And Jesus is with him. And the man says, Lord, if you were willing, you could make me well. And Jesus said, I'm willing. And he did one of the most amazing miracles, I think, because he's a leper and you don't touch lepers. And Jesus could just speak a word, but he didn't. He touched him. He said, I'm willing. And he touched him. And the difference was, what made the difference in both of those stories is the touch of Jesus. Whether it was I got to press in to touch him or whether he's going to touch me, it was coming to the touch of God. And I believe God has a touch for us today. Whether you're saying, I just wish Jesus, Lord, if you were willing, loved one, he's willing. And if you say, I just have to press in, there's going to be opportunity for you to press in for the touch of the Lord today. Here we go, Joseph's story. Joseph part two, we're going to come to Joseph, conclude our series next week. Last week we talked about Joseph, and I'm not going to highlight all of the story. The sermons on the app or on the website, the notes are in today's notes as well, are in your Bible app. We'll have some scriptures on the screen behind us. But what's happened is Joseph has been delivered from death. His brothers were going to kill him into a pit. He's been delivered from the pit, sold to slaves, by slave traders. He's been sold to Midianites, Ishmaelites, and now he's been traded to Potiphar, the captain of the guard. So he's been delivered from death, he's been delivered from the pit, he's been delivered from the traitors, and now he's delivered into Potiphar's house in Egypt. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 to 4, we'll have it on the screen. You can follow in the app, or old school, you can follow in your Bible. Here we go. Genesis 39, verse 1 says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Watch this phrase. The Lord was with Joseph. Would you say that? The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. The Lord was with Joseph. The presence of God was evident in Joseph's life. He found favor. I love the phrase where it says he found favor and he served. He didn't find favor and take advantage of. Just because he was in the boss's good books, he didn't use that to his advantage. He served. He found favor and he served. I think it's a little bit like his dad, Jacob, who was with Uncle Laban years ago. And Laban would say this when Jacob was with him. He would say this in Genesis 30, verse 27. Laban said to him about Jacob, he said, "Please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Jacob, his dad, when he was working for Laban, Laban said, "I have learned by experience. I've just been watching what's happening. Since you're here, God's blessed me." And now his son Joseph in Potiphar's house, Potiphar will say, "I'm better because you're here." And it made me stop and think about, and this certainly isn't the primary point of our message this morning, but I wonder, wouldn't it be something if our bosses, if our employers, if our workplaces, people were able to say, "Work is better because I've got a Christian working for me. Because I've got a Christian for me, things are going better." And it makes me just take stock of how we show up for work. Are we reliable? Are we dependable? Are we punctual? Are we trustworthy? Do you give more than what's expected? Is your workplace better because you're there? Is there a blessing that overflows to your workplace? Laban said, "I've learned by experience." There's increase because you're here. Do you bring peace where you go? Do you bring joy? Do you infuse the workplace with light? Are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are the fruit of the Holy Spirit actively evident in your life where we work? Because we're not employed, we're not in places of employment just for the paycheck. We are light in dark places. We're spread out wherever God has us strategically as missionaries. Potiphar noticed Joseph. And he put him in charge of everything. But Potiphar wasn't the only one who noticed Joseph. Mrs. Potiphar noticed Joseph. And I don't know how it all went, but somehow she just said, "Hubba hubba." And that's not Hebrew, really. But she propositions him repeatedly. And he makes this famous statement: "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God?" It's this amazing statement. He was living in such an awareness of the presence of God. After all he had been through, after being sold out by his brothers, thrown into the pit, sold into slavery, all of that, he still is living in an awesome awareness of the presence of God wherever he was. How could I do this and sin against God? This great wickedness and sin against God. It's not just sin against you. It's not just sinning against Potiphar. It's not just sinning against my own body. It's sinning against God. God is watching, and it's not. It's this reverence, this fear of God. Scripture tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not just this afraid terror. It's this holy reverence. How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? She grabs him by the coat. He flees and leaves his coat. And I think every preacher that I've ever heard tells a story that says the same thing. He couldn't hang on to his coat. Right? The coat of many colors and this coat. And there's something that we learn from that is when temptation comes, run. Scripture will tell us in Timothy, flee. Flee, youthful lust. Get out of there. Don't flirt with her. Don't flirt with it. Get out and get out now. He runs. She wrongfully accuses him. Potiphar comes home. She said, "He tried to take advantage of me." Potiphar throws him in jail. Watch this. Verse 21 of chapter 39. Here's this phrase again: "But the Lord was with Joseph." In prison, falsely accused. "And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in prison, whatever they did there, It was his doing. The keeper of the prison didn't look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Joseph means increase. Last week we talked about what Joseph's name means, how it means add, an increase. And when he was born, mom said, the Lord will add to me. The Lord will give increase. And here we're seeing it. The Lord was with Joseph. And what a wonderful testimony. Wherever he goes, wherever he could go, the Lord was with him. As it was true for Joseph, it's true for you. Wherever you go, the Lord is with you. The psalmist said this, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. It's this marvelous promise that we have. And it's not only a promise that we have wherever we go. Man, I pray that for my kids. Pray that for your kids. I pray that for anybody who's wandered away from the Lord. God, wherever they run to, let them run right into you. Wherever they go, let them run right into you. They just can't flee. Think they're running away, they run right to you. You can skip all the way down to chapter 40. It says, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt were confined in the prison. So he's got some cellmates or some prison mates. And they had a dream, both of them, each man dream in one night. And each man's dream with its own interpretation. Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. He asked Pharaoh's officers, the butler, the baker. I don't know where the candlestick maker was, but it's just these guys. So he asked the officers who were with them in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. We each had a dream, and nobody can tell us what they mean. This is a pivotal moment in Joseph's life, and he doesn't know it. And they don't know, nobody knows it. But this is the moment. We don't know that this is the moment that is going to change his future. We don't know that this is the moment that is going to lead into, in one day, him going from prison to power in a seemingly a heartbeat. It's not going to happen right now. There's going to be a couple years that go in between that. But this day, this moment is pivotal because Joseph had a choice to make. Why are you so sad? Well, we had a dream and we don't know what it means. You had a dream. Good for you. You want me to tell you about my dream? You want me to tell you how dreams work out? Here I am in prison. I had a dream too. I can tell you about the wheat bowing down. I can tell you about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down. Here, let me tell you how dreams work out. You had a dream and you think it's from God. Big deal. It's not what he said. You know what he probably said is, I'm innocent. Like everybody else in the prison said. But we don't see bitterness in Joseph's life. We'll see it later, but it's not against God. Joseph has some things to sort out with his brothers where things are pretty messed up. We're going to talk about that next week. But he's not bitter against God. In fact, he says that God is going to give the interpretation. And he does, and he tells them what's going to happen. 3 days later, the butler, or the cupbearer, will be restored to his position, and the baker, his life is going to end. And that's what happens in 3 days. 3 days, the dreams are fulfilled. Joseph has lived a long time without his dreams being fulfilled. In fact, it will be when he finally does rise to power that we'll look at a little later. When he finally does rise to power, it's been 13 years. 3 days, and the dream's fulfilled. Joseph's forgotten. He's forgotten by the butler, but not by the Lord. Genesis 41, it's all about Pharaoh having a couple dreams, and nobody can help him out. Nobody can tell him the dreams, what they mean. But when he tells his officials that he's had these dreams and nobody can tell the interpretation, the butler, the cupbearer, remembers then. remembers his sin. Oh man, I forgot. Because Joseph said, remember me, and I forgot. 2 years later, I forgot. He's been in prison this whole time. I forgot. Verse 15 of Genesis 41 says this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, so they call him. He says, there is a guy, and they call him, and Joseph comes in. I've had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph will say, it's not me, it's God. And he gives credit. In that moment, when he could posture himself forward, he doesn't. He says, it's not me, it's God. Not unto us, but unto you be the glory. And he tells Joseph, I've had two dreams. The similarity. You've had two dreams. I had two dreams. And God confirmed it. It was done twice that God would confirm it. I had two dreams. I wonder how, in that moment, Joseph navigated through that. Pharaoh will say, essentially, there were seven fat cows who got eaten by seven skinny cows. There were seven very healthy grains of wheat that got eaten by seven very withered grains of wheat, heads of grain. Joseph will say, listen, the dreams are from God. He did it twice, so you'd know it's from God. This is what it means. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. In fact, the 7 years of plenty, it is just going to be so full that when the 7 years of famine come, you're not going to even believe that it was so full, that, because it's all going to get eaten away. It's going to be lost. The famine is going to hit so hard, you're not even going to remember. The good old days aren't going to, you're not going to remember them. And here's what you need to do. You need to put somebody in charge that can look after things, that can manage and it can store up and can save all this. In the 7 years of the economic boom, we're actually going to put some savings away for when hard times hit. And they say, well, who can be as wise as Joseph? And so Joseph is promoted to governor, and we're coming in for a landing right here. He's promoted to governor over all the land. The only person more important or more with more power than Joseph in all of Egypt is Pharaoh. Pharaoh gives him a wife, promotes him to power, and Joseph has a couple kids, and here we are. This is the point of the heart surgery. This is the point of what I believe God wants to do in some people's lives today. Genesis 41:51. This is Joseph's kids. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. All that Joseph's been through, the betrayal by his brothers, thrown into pits, sold into slavery, falsely accused, forgotten about for a couple years in prison or more, finally rises to power and has a couple kids. He says, he calls his first son Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. That word toil, it doesn't mean just work like toil and tilling the ground. It means this: misery, sorrow, grief, and pain. Misery, sorrow, grief, and pain. God has caused me to forget misery, sorrow, grief, and pain of my father's house, where I came from. The pain, the hurt, the sorrow, the misery, he's caused me to forget. He's made me forgetful. And he credits God with that. For God has made me forget all my father's house, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the grief. Jesus will talk about in John chapter 16, verse 21, that when a woman is having a baby, with all of the effort and the pain and the sorrow and the struggle, he will essentially say, finally, when the baby is born, she forgets all of that pain because of the joy of the new life, because of little Zoe. Doesn't mean that she forget that it hurt, but this new life overshadows the sorrow, and I don't remember that. We don't focus or dwell on the pain, and just said that it was worth it. Look what I went through, but look what we have now. Old things pass away; all things become new. God wants to cause you to forget some misery and pain and sorrow and grief today. When I was a teenager, we were at Bowness Park. We were there with my youth group. We had a lot of kids in youth. And I don't remember who started the food fight. I think it was my friend Steve. He tells this story. He'll tell you, I think it was my friend Barry. I do remember the green jellied salad that was in his hand that he threw at me. I remember turning and diving out of the way, and there was a lampstand there. And at the base of the lampstand, there was a square concrete support foundation, sharp edges. When I turned around and dove, I landed on it with my knee, and it slit my knee open. Went for stitches, all of that. I tell you that story, loved ones, because I could show you my knee, and you'd see the scar. But it doesn't hurt. The scar doesn't hurt. I remember what happened. Right down to the green jellied salad, right? I remember what happened, but it doesn't hurt anymore. And I believe that the Lord wants to touch some hearts today, that he will cause us to forget. Oh, you may not forget what happened, but it's not going to hurt. Either it's not going to hurt like it did, or it's not going to hurt anymore. It's the Lord who causes us to forget the pain, the sorrow, the misery, the grief of where I came from, of what I've been through. It's his healing touch. It's Jesus. Whether it's you getting to Jesus or him coming to you, it's his touch that makes all the difference. He causes us to be forgetful. Verse 52 of the same chapter. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction, where I was sold into slavery, where I was betrayed, where I was thrown into prison, where I was forgotten about. It's in this land, right here, in this land of affliction, God has caused me to be fruitful. It makes me think of years later when they would be in Egypt, the Hebrews, and it said about the Egyptians, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. The more the Egyptians afflicted the Hebrews, the more they multiplied. Joseph means increase. God doesn't always deliver us from things. Sometimes he delivers us through things. But we know that he is our deliverer. In a world filled with pain and sorrow and grief and misery, God can touch our hearts and cause us to forget. And he can cause us to be fruitful in the land of our affliction. Pharaoh's dreams will come true. 7 years of abundance will happen. 7 years of the fat cows. And the 7 years of famine will start. And when the famine starts and begins to reach beyond Egypt into all of Canaan, as it begins to, its reach touches everywhere, Jacob will say to his remaining sons, I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. I want you to go there and get grain that we might die and not live. Do you know why there's grain in Egypt? Joseph. Because Joseph's there. The brothers don't know. Jacob doesn't know. Only God knows. And he says, I want you to go. They're looking for grain, but they're going to find more than that. We're going to talk about that next week. Joseph had a dream, and it wasn't yet fulfilled. The amazing thing is where we stop in the story right here, his dream isn't fulfilled yet. He's risen to power. He's the number two man in all of Egypt. The blessing of the Lord is on his life. He's got a wife. He's got his kids. He's forgetful of the bad things and fruitful of the good. It's this amazing moment, but his dreams are still not fulfilled. His God-given dreams. No matter how it looks like he's got it together now, his dreams, his God-given dreams, are not yet fulfilled. That's okay, because God's not done. The story's not over. He's going to have to work through some bitterness and some unforgiveness, not towards God, but towards his brothers. But God's not done with them either. Maybe you're here this morning, you've got unfulfilled dreams that haven't worked out yet. If you say, God, you said it wouldn't end this way, well, then that must mean it's not the end. Maybe you have sorrows and disappointments and such pain. God can touch you today. He can cause you to forget the pain, to not feel it like you felt it. fruitful in the land of your affliction. Betrayed, sold, falsely accused, imprisoned, forgotten. That was Joseph, and now fruitful. Tara, I'm going to ask you to just come join me for a minute. We're going to pray. I want to pray for you this morning. How there are hearts here that just, I can't imagine the pain and sorrow, the grief and the misery that you have faced that has touched your life. You need to know this. That was not God's plan. That was not God's plan. God is redemptive. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. He sees the end of the thing from the beginning. But it was never God's plan for you to experience that kind of hurt, that kind of betrayal, that kind of grief, that kind of misery, that kind of sorrow. And those things shape us. But I would say to you this morning that I believe by the Spirit of the Lord that old things can pass away and all things can become new. That just because you're a product of your past doesn't mean you need to be a prisoner of it. You don't need to be held by that anymore. And Jesus, loving Jesus, can touch you and can heal you and can heal your heart. And I know he is able to even take the scars away. But in this moment, I just want to pray that Jesus would touch your heart and cause you to forget the sorrow, the misery, the grief, the sadness, the woundedness, that he would just touch you. And then secondly, we're going to pray that he would cause you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, even in the midst of it. I don't know if he's going to take you out of the situation you're in. I don't have answers to that. But I do know this, that no matter where you are, God can cause you to be fruitful. There can be a fruitfulness of your life. There can be a new beginning. There can be a fresh start. And it says this, that God caused me to be fruitful. It's not even something you do. We just surrender and say, Lord, I'm going to receive your touch on my life. And like Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with you. The Lord will be with you. And there will be a fruitfulness that begins to grow and flourish. There's health and life that the Lord has for you. I'm going to just be silent for a second, then we're going to pray. Jesus, we come to you. You who are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You who are able to just speak a word and everything changes in our world. You who are the author of life. You whose very nature it is to heal. You who were moved with compassion and healed every manner of disease and affliction, brokenness and sorrow. And Jesus, we declare, we know in whom we have believed. We know you still are moved with compassion. That hasn't changed one bit. And your power to heal hasn't changed one bit. And today I pray for every heart, every wounded heart, every wounded life, every wounded spirit, every wounded mind, every wounded body, every wounded person, that your healing would touch us now. That you would wash away the pain and the sorrow and the grief. Just in this operating room, O great physician, would you remove those things, the very cause of the pain and the sorrow and the grief and the misery? Would you, the balm of Gilead, would you, by your Spirit, just touch us now? And just, I believe, by the Spirit of God, I say these words, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. By the Spirit of God, healing was secured in the cross of Calvary. By his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we were healed. Lord, you're the one who binds up the brokenhearted. You set the captives free. The ministry of your Holy Spirit now. And God, we don't stop only at healing. God, I pray it would be a new season of fruitfulness. That the Lord would cause fruitfulness in our lives. Where there has been barrenness because of the grief and the sorrow, wherever we have been held captive and wounded, God, we pray there would now be fruitfulness, a new day. That the axe is laid to the root of that sorrow and that it's a new day. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that just shines brighter and brighter and brighter. God, I pray for a fruitfulness, a supernatural fruitfulness. God, and where that barrenness or that dry, I can just see that dry ground. Your word says there will be showers of blessing. God, may we walk out from underneath that curse that has gripped us. And now we walk in the favor and the blessing of the Lord. Because we are now forgetful of the pain and the sorrow and the grief and the misery. And we're walking in the fruitfulness. In the land of the living that you have provided for us in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.